the man that says what the people need to hear.
Somebody need to hear this.
That's right.
He's going to be bringing you the word each and every week. You better not only be ready, but stay ready.
Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
The time is up. It's the moment you've been waiting for. He's here. It's the Raw and Uncut Podcast with Pastor Radden. Service starts now.
Jesus. Father God, we thank you, Heavenly Father. Just like the song says, God, you have been better than good to me in the mighty name of Jesus. You are a great God, a mighty God, an awesome God, a loving God. Hallelujah, God. A forgiving God, a merciful God. Thank you, Jesus, for being so merciful, God. Thank you, Father God, for being so forgiving, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for not being like man in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Thank you for not holding any grudges or anger lasting for a long time in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Because, Father God, we have not always done what we're supposed to do, and you've forgiven us anyhow. We have not always put you first like we should have, and you've forgiven us anyhow in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Where a human being will hold a grudge, you will just continue to love us, God. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, because you have been better than good. Hallelujah to me and to everyone that's in this place, God. Father God, I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you bless this service on today, God. That you have your way and it's your will, not mine. Your will that's done in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, watch over our pastor and our bishop in their absence in Jesus' name, God. Continue to cover them with your blood in Jesus' name and strengthen them, God. Grant them traveling mercies. They're traveling to and fro in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Continue to strengthen them and show them favor in the mighty name of Jesus, God. And may they give the much needed rest that they deserve in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. And when they come back to this place, fired up and ready to go in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Lord, we thank you for the saints of God that are in here on today, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Bless them right now, Heavenly Father, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they came in here with a praise on their heart and mind to give you the praise and honor and glory to enter your courts into thanksgiving and with praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we love you and we praise you, Lord. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah, God. Bless your holy name, God. Hallelujah, God. I thank God once again, Heavenly Father, for being in the house of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, God. In the absence of our pastor and bishop, amen. But as we know, the church must go on. Hallelujah, God. And we must continue to praise him and to honor him and to worship him. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that we had a good watch night service on Tuesday night, amen. There was a lot of good testimonies going on in here. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, God. And I pray, Lord, that we continue to keep that with the word that we got, amen, about coming into this year with a new mindset, hallelujah, and to be focused, what Pastor said, in Jesus' name, because that kind of went hand in hand, a new mindset, and to be focused on the task at hand, hallelujah, God. But one thing that you can say about a new year, there's a lot of positivity at least coming into the year with things that people say that they're going to do, because that's what my word is about today, is basically encouraging you, for you to be an encourager to others and to yourself. But we can't say that when it's a new year that's coming, people come into it a lot of times, at least come into it with a different mindset, with a new focus, amen, because you've been saying all in December and November when the new year comes, I'm going to do A, B, and C. Hallelujah, God. And you hear that most people try to do things to better themselves, to be a better person, or do something better health-wise. And that's a good thing. At least you're coming into the new year with a positive mindset.
Amen.
Who do you know comes into the new year that's saying, in this new year, I'm going to lie more.
All right.
I'm going to steal more.
Right.
I'm going to cheat more in this new year because it's all about me. Who do you hear says that? Most people come into the new year and just say, I'm going to cut off toxic relationships.
Right.
I'm going to come in and do something better with my health. Hallelujah, God. I'm going to stop doing this right here. It's something that's maybe causing you to fall back a little bit. So you come into the new year with a new mindset. And it was just like I heard on Erica Campbell say the other day, I don't know if y'all heard it or not, they say most of the time by January the 17th, all of that stuff what you said is pretty much gone away. 3 weeks into it, I guess they done a study or something. By January 17th, all that what you said you was going to do is pretty much gone out the window. Now, we got to be more strong-minded than that, saints of God. If you say you're going to do something, just like I said, you come into the new year with a new mindset, and what Pastor said to be focused, you can accomplish that what you said that you was going to do. Hallelujah. If you're going to read your Bible more, then read it. If you're going to pray more, then pray more. Amen. If you're going to fast more, then be committed and dedicated to fasting. Hallelujah, God. Amen. If you're going to worship Him and praise Him more, then just do so in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. I said you have one greater on the inside that can help you. Right. That Holy Spirit will help you accomplish all of that. Amen. But you got to have the mindset and you got to be focused to do so. And we have to encourage ourselves, encourage one another. And read, even when you hear other people that do good things, pray for them and encourage them to keep doing those things. Okay. Somebody see on the news, it was a lady, she was doing a ride share, I believe, and she had a customer, a passenger in the car, and she was just telling the individual about her schooling, and I believe that she needed some money or whatever the case may be, she had to stop or something because she had to have the money to do her classes and whatnot. She was just speaking at random to a total stranger that she never met. Mm-hmm. Well, how about when she went to the school or whatever to do the registration, or whatever it is, and went to go talk to them about it. They said basically that she was paid in full. Everything was paid for, at least for her upcoming classes. So the lady said, and she found out that it was that gentleman. It was a black lady. And by the way, this was a white male that did this.
Right.
Hallelujah. Just so it wasn't about the same race or nothing. Mm-hmm. Opposite races. That's why you know there are good people in this world, even the opposite race. It's not about that sometimes, because he surely didn't have to do that. But nevertheless, he paid for her upcoming classes, and she said that I at least owed him enough to do good in class, and she said she made A's and B's and graduated. Right. And she invited him to the graduation, and he came. The camera there, and they showed him hugging and everything because he did that. I believe she was a single mother with children and different things of that nature. But he paid for that. And when I seen that, I said, well, God bless that man for doing that. And we have to say things like that. I don't know if that man is a Christian. I don't even know if he believes in Christ. I don't know nothing about him. He could be a pastor. He could be a man of God. But let's just say, what if he's not? Say he don't believe in God. Maybe he just has a good heart. I don't know, but nevertheless, I don't know nothing about him. But I said, that's good, and God bless him for doing that. Amen. You got to ask God to bless those volunteers and people that do things, that help people, that go around and build houses and different things of that nature for people. Hallelujah. There is some good people in this world, saints of God. Amen. That's an encouragement right there, that you know that everybody is not evil. There are good people in this world, because he surely didn't have to do that. All she was doing was just talking. Had no idea that this man was going to pay for her schooling. And it was just a regular ride share on her job that she was talking to somebody. And God touched his heart to do that. And thank God for him for doing that, young lady. I don't even know who she is, but now she's graduated with a degree and she's going back to school to go even higher. Hallelujah, God. And so there are some good people in this world. And when people do good, you continue to encourage them. And what I want to talk about today, just for me not coming out of Genesis, 39th chapter, then something in Hebrews and in Proverbs, and then a little something in 1 Samuel about encouraging yourself. In the 39th chapter of Genesis, we've heard this story about Joseph. And we know pretty much the story about Joseph and how his brothers hated him and different things, and they wanted to kill him.
Amen.
And how they threw him in a pit, and some Egyptians came by and got him and sold him off to Egypt and all of that. But see, when he got there, he had favor. And the thing what I want to talk about is, you know, sometimes it's just good just to do the right thing just because. And the reason being is because when you look at this story of Joseph in the 39th chapter, and let's just look at verse 2, and it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was prosperous. a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. I believe it was Potiphar, if I'm not mistaken. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. It says, and Joseph found grace in his sight. In other words, what he did, Potiphar ended up promoting him and putting him as a captain or in charge of his house and in charge of over men that was coming to his house every day to do things. But it see that if you go down to verse 7, it's going to say that, see, Potiphar had a fast wife. See, right. Now Joseph then ain't minding his own business. But if you look at verse 7, it says, and it came to pass after these things, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, to lie with me. Now this man coming to work, minding his own business every day. Now he got to put up with this mess now. Now mind you now, this is the man that can set you up, that can really is in a position to really crush you if he needs to, or if he can. He puts you in a position because he trusts you. And plus there was favor on your life, and he saw the favor on your life. Now obviously he don't know this is going on. But in verse 8, it says that he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not with me in the house, and that he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. Now my whole purpose here is verse 9, and it says that there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. Now he asks a question. He says, so how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now mind you, we're still in the book of Genesis here. The Ten Commandments haven't even been written yet as far as about committing adultery and all of that type of stuff. That was still well at least probably 100 and some years down the line. Moses wasn't even born yet. And this man said, is it a sin against God for me to sleep with you? Now you tell me if that wasn't some righteousness when all of the mess that was going on back then, all of the incest and all of that was going on, it wasn't even no rules yet about that stuff. And he said, this man has given me everything but you. You are his wife. And it's a wickedness and a sin against God to do so. And that's why I love that story, because the Ten Commandments wasn't even out yet and he was doing the right thing. And you know how sometimes that somebody might tell you a story about maybe they went to the store, let's just say if it was a gallon of milk, for instance, and it was $3, and they gave him a $5 bill, and the cashier probably just mistaken, had something on her, his or my mind, thought it was a 20, and gave you $17 back instead of two. And somebody said, you know, they gave me that, but I couldn't do that, so I gave the change back to him, said, no, you gave me way too much, I only gave you a $5. What you going to tell a person? You fool, you idiot, you could have walked away with $17? All right. Are you going to encourage them and say, well, God bless you, you just did the right thing? Amen. Because that person would have came up $17 short in their register and possibly get fired. Now, how many times you got that amount of change back or something like that and walked off and you knew good and well you weren't supposed to have that amount of change? Now, you know that ain't supposed to happen. Christians, y'all know that ain't supposed to happen. Men and women of God, followers of Jesus Christ, his disciples, his followers. You can be tested, and if you done so like that, you have failed miserably. You know good and well you weren't supposed to get back a couple of dollars. People make mistakes. Could have easily thought it was $20, just did it real fast, and gave you $17 back, and you know you weren't supposed to get $2 back for something that cost $3, and you gave them $5. And when people tell stories like that, encourage them and say you did the right thing and continue to do so. It's just like on New Year's Eve, there was a brother in Christ. He just happened to write, because we on the, he's on my page, and he just said, can these bones live? He just put all right. that in capital letters. All right. And when I seen that, I knew where he was going with that, and I just wrote in Ezekiel 37, because that's that story about the bones live. And he said that, I can't wait to give that word tonight. That's what he said. This was on, you know, watch night on the 31st. I just saw that earlier in the day. And he said he can't wait to preach that tonight. And I encouraged him. I said, let the Holy Spirit use you, brother. Like that. And he hit me back with the heart symbol saying thank you and all of that. You have to encourage one another, saints of God. When there's a chance to encourage somebody, especially for those of you that are on social media, Please encourage people when they say something like that, or when they say something positive, tell them God bless you. Tell them that God loves you. May God continue to bless you and your family, or whatever. Can people like to hear that? Don't you like to hear stuff like that? If somebody say, well, God bless you and your family, somebody's encouraging you, you be the encourager. You encourage. And we should do that daily. Go to Hebrews 13 and 3. It's talking about exhorting one another daily, or encouraging one another. And Hebrews 13 and 3, or I put 13 and 3, I meant to say 3 and 13.
All right.
And Hebrews 3 and 13, the word says about encouraging one another daily while it is called today. But I think it depends on what version of your Bible you got, it might say exhort. Or exhort or encourage one another. It says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest thou be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. You have a chance to encourage somebody, do something for God. People need to hear encouraging words.
Right.
People need to hear that. Don't you like to be encouraged?
Amen.
Because if you just said that you, this year, I'm going to do such and such. I am going to read my word more. Or I am going to lose more weight. I am going to pray more. Then encourage them and say, let God use you to do so. Hallelujah, God. You can do it. Because, see, people can get discouraged so quickly. And that's why that study came out saying by the 17th of January, that what you said you was going to do is gone. Now, if you said that you're going to go to, how many people they say, the highest gym membership is always in January. Always in January. Because people say, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to the gym more to get in better shape.
All right.
And you go to Planet Fitness, and you go to Gold's Gym, and you sign up. But you're a no-show. You done wasted money signing up, paying monthly, and now you can get something taken out of your check every month and you'll never go. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hands to see if that can happen to anybody before. But how many times now you wasting money now? Every month money's coming out your check and you're not showing up. Mind you said it the whole month of December, I'm going to the gym. Then you say, well, I need a partner to go with me, and all of that time.
Yeah.
It's always something. You made it up in your mind you was going to go. Now you got to have somebody to go with you. But if somebody says they're going to do that, then encourage them to do so. Say, it's all a mind thing. Go ahead and do so. I believe you can do it. I'm praying for you. Go ahead and do that. Get your mind right. Get your body right. Whatever the case may be. But encourage people to do so. If you know somebody that's a smoker and a drinker, encourage them to stop if they say that's what they're going to do. If they say they're going to stop that, say, you got the mindset to do it because I know you and you're smart enough to do it. People stop smoking and drinking every day. Once they make their mind up, that's it. It's done. And you got to tell people that. Don't go back. Don't do it. You're not going to miss nothing anyway. It's helping you out. You'll feel much better. You might go through some withdrawals depending on how long it's been, but you're strong enough to overcome it.
Amen.
That's why you got to encourage people. Encourage people, like I said, exhort one another daily. You might even know a Christian that might be going through that, having an issue with one of those things like that. And they said that I'm definitely going to stop this year. And tell me, ain't nothing but to do it, but to do it. Nothing to it, but to do it.
Amen.
Just go ahead and do it.
That's right.
Hallelujah, God. And you got God on your side. We have to be encouragers of the word and of people. Hallelujah, God. And another verse, I like in Proverbs 27 and verse 17. Iron sharpen iron. Hallelujah, God. We're supposed to sharpen one another. It's just like a man said yesterday in a men's fellowship. You cannot sharpen iron with cotton. Right. You can't sharpen it with cloth. Mm-hmm. It takes another piece of hard iron to sharpen iron. And that's what we as men and women of God are supposed to be doing. Sharpening one another, encouraging one another daily, that you can continue to keep pushing. Because some people are crying out for help. Now some people will, I'm on a veteran site with our military. And it's sad that some of the stuff that they put on there. But the good thing, you see a lot of comments that are coming because some people just say on there, you know, I can't take it no more. I'm tired of this, different things or whatnot. And the good thing about it in the comments, people are always encouraging, telling them, no, you can hang on. You got this. You got too much to live for. All of that type of stuff. You just don't let things like that go on. If you know somebody on your page that say that, and they crying out, and you need to encourage them quick. If you hear somebody says that, not feeling important, whatever the case may be, if somebody says that, that's not good. Because for whatever reason, they feel that they're alone. They need some encouragement right then and there. You can't overlook that or bypass that and say, no, they're just talking at the side of their neck. You need to encourage them. Iron sharpens iron. There's a reason why that's in there. We're supposed to help one another. We're supposed to say kind words to one another. Even with spouses, one another, you're supposed to encourage your spouse. Encourage your brother or your sister. Encourage family members. Encourage co-workers. Hallelujah. Because they need that word and they're expecting that to come from you anyway. Because you are a child of the Most High God. They're not expecting you to be negative. They are expecting you to be an encourager. And that's what you have to do, saints of God. You have to encourage. We like encouragement. Don't discourage, but encourage. Hallelujah, God. Amen. That way you can be known. That's why people don't mind coming to you and telling you things. Because they know you're positive. Like I said, when you come into this year with a positive mindset and to focus, saints of God. Please, if you don't do nothing else, be a good encourager. Because you need that in this upcoming year. Because there are things that people are trying to overcome. And they need to hear a good word. They need to know that they have the discipline, they have the mindset, they got the know-how and the strength to do so. Because it's still early. Today is, which is what, the fifth day in the new year. Mm-hmm. And somebody might have said they were going to do something, and they haven't done it yet. There was another thing when they were saying on just Friday, I believe, or the other day on 95.5, 95.3, with Griffin Eric was saying about vision boards. I don't know if you know what those are, you know, vision boards. They said, how many people have those in their house, or have you ever thought about getting one? And a lot of people comment on that because you can write stuff on it and you can see it every day. If you've never thought of that, to get something that very same thing that you said you was going to do, you can write it down and you can look at it every day. And to see if you've accomplished it. Because the question was, all that you said you was going to do last year, they asked, did you do that? And a lot of people said, yes, I have completed those same things that I said I was going to come in 2019, and I've done that. And some said, no, I haven't done what I said I was going to do. But why not get something to remind you of that same thing that you said you was going to do? At least you can look at it. Are you ashamed to look at it because it makes you feel that you're not strong enough to do so? Whatever it said that you was going to do, write it down so you can be reminded of it daily. Because I guarantee you already, here on the fifth day, somebody's already backing down from what they said they was going to do.
Right.
And they need to have an encouraging word so they can go ahead and carry out and do what they say they was going to do. Don't let that be you, saints of God. If you say you go read every day, then do so. Mm-hmm. Read your word every day. If you go pray more than just don't pray in the morning when you wake up, you got to find it somewhere in your heart every day to pray throughout the day. Not just once a day, and not just when you go to bed at night, but to pray throughout the day. It's a brand new week coming up. Has anybody have any plans of fasting this week for anything? If you said you was going to fast more, then why not start this week with doing something? Because if you keep putting it off and putting it off, guess what? You ain't going to never get around to it. Mm-hmm. So why what it is that you said you was going to do, why don't you start now while it's still early? And if you have started, continue to do so. Continue to tell that devil that he is a liar. You are going to accomplish what you set out to accomplish because you can do so. Why? Because you're smart enough to do so. Mm-hmm. And you got the man, and you got the willpower to do so. Hallelujah, God. And that's what I was saying. Then we hit the song by the Clark Sisters, Encourage Yourself.
All right.
That song that was out in the mid-2000s. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Samuel and 30. If we've heard that he said that David, King David, encouraged himself. King David and his men, they had went somewhere. They had left their town and they went somewhere. And they came back in 3 days. And when they came back, everything was burned up. All their wives, children, daughters were taken. All of that was gone when they came back. So naturally, obviously, can you imagine going somewhere and coming back to your neighborhood and every house is burned up? All of your loved ones are gone? Can you imagine that? Not just your house, all the houses. Then you had to know that was a coordinated hit. They knew that somebody came and did that. Imagine coming back and everything is burned to the ground and all your loved ones are gone. It says that. If you look at 1 Samuel in chapter 30, and in verse 2, well, let's go in verse 1 when it says, see, the Amalekites came and they went to Ziklag. That's the town they were staying in. And it says they burned it with fire. And in verse 2, it says they had taken the women captives, and were therein, they slew not any, either great nor small, but carried them away and went on their way. It says, and David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now you tell me, how much crying is that? Have you ever been to a point where you cry so much you can't even cry no more, even if you tried? They say they had no more power to weep because everything was gone. David had wives. All of that was gone. And now, for whatever reason, they ready to blame David now and ready to stone him.
Amen.
Ready to kill him as if that was his fault. Because you'll see in verse 6, it says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And what David did, he inquired of the Lord. He went and talked to the Lord, and he asked the Lord, do I need to pursue my enemies? And the Lord said, go and pursue, because I'm going to give them into your hand. But the thing is, it said he encouraged himself. People are ready to kill this man and stone him. How many times are we going to encourage ourselves when things are not looking so good? Can you encourage yourself at that point when things look like they're at its worst? Or are you just going to be down and don't say nothing and don't open your mouth and do nothing? The word says he encouraged himself. So even if you hit a song by the clock, sisters, it says to encourage yourself. It's the Lord. And we have to do that. Because guess what? There might not be another voice out there to encourage you.
All right.
So who else is going to do it but you?
Amen.
So you might have to encourage your own self.
Amen.
Because there's nobody else to tell you that it's going to be all right. That it's going to be okay. So you have to tell your own self that it is going to be okay. Because if there's anything, saints of God, we got to know that we are overcomers. And we know the familiar scripture in Isaiah 54 and 17. We already know what that is about, by no weapon form. But see, what I like about it also is about what it talks about the tongues, the what people say that rise up against you in judgment. Because it says in 54, it says, no weapon that's formed against you, as you know, it shall not prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. If you have some haters right now that are speaking against you,
mm-hmm.
It says you can condemn that.
All right.
Whatever they say against you, it cannot come to pass.
Amen.
How can it come to pass? Because the word says that you are more than a conqueror. So if somebody says that you are a failure, and that you know good, or whatever the case may be, the word says that you are victorious. So how can somebody call you a failure? And in 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, it says you have the victory. The word tells you that you have the victory. So can't nobody call you a failure. You have the right to condemn that. That's good news right there.
Amen.
That's good news. It says you have the right to condemn that, saints of God. So can't nobody curse you. Can't nobody put a hex on you. Can't nobody do that because you're covered and washed in the blood.
Amen.
Those are the things you can encourage yourself about. Yes, voodoo and all that mess is real. But you are covered under the blood of Jesus. Care how many dolls they make that look like you. How many pins they put in it. How many chicken bones and all that type of mess. Can't no hex be over you. You are a child of the Most High God. Covered, washed in the blood. See, that's why I love 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. Because it says that, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory.
All right.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have the victory. Therefore, can't no tongue or anything anybody says come against you like that. The only person that can do anything against you like that is God himself. Other than that, can't no man or no woman put any bad words on you. Because it says every tongue, it says it will rise up in judgment. You can condemn it. Hallelujah, God.
Amen.
So therefore, encourage yourself with those words daily. That nothing formed against you can prosper. Like as we've been taught in here, weapons may form against you, but they won't succeed.
Amen.
It's not saying that it won't form, because the devil is going to shoot those fiery darts. That's why it says for you to put on your armor every day. Because the enemy wants to see you fail. People might want to see you fail. I don't know if you have any haters on your job, and maybe even in your own family. But one thing for sure, they can't put nothing on you.
That's right.
Because you're covered with the word, or covered with the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And you can encourage yourself. And you can encourage somebody else if they're saying, I have people against me, even my own family. Now, especially if they're a child of God, you have to encourage them with the word. And let them know that whatever they say, they can't come against you. The boss on your job can't come against you. And even if he or she decides to let you go, if they fire you with no reason, then that's on them. Please believe that God has something greater.
Amen.
And shame on them for doing so. If they do that, because now they're going to have to be dealt with God now. For trying to put one of his children out there with no means to support themselves for no reason at all. That'll be something they'll have to deal with. And that's why when things of that nature, you have to encourage people. Because some people think that everybody is against them. Everybody. I have no help, my family, people just come against me everywhere I go. I know people are talking about me. Why are you worried about that? Saints of God should not be losing no sleep over people at all. You should sleep sweet every night. Your rest should be good every night when you lay your head on that pillow because you are covered by the blood of Jesus. You are covered. Encourage yourself. Your words cannot come against me.
All right.
Your word, if you say it, will not come to pass. It won't stick. Because the word says, I'm blessed in the city, and I'm blessed in the field. I am the head, and I'm not the tail.
Amen.
I'm blessed coming in and coming out. Hallelujah, God. I am above and not beneath. I am the lender, not the borrower. The word tells you that. You have to encourage yourself every day. And you encourage others with those same words. And you tell people that you are blessed. You are victorious. You are an overcomer. You have the victory. And therefore, that's why you have to know those scriptures. So you can tell them to go to this scripture right here. You go to Romans 8 and 28. You go to 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. You tell them people that. To encourage yourself. And every now and then, it's not bad for you to read that so you can see it once again so you can encourage yourself. You know it's there, but you just want to see it just for reassurance. And you're looking at it, and the word says it. And that's what I'm talking about. And you encourage yourself.
Amen.
Because there are people that's going to come against you for whatever reason. The devil don't care who he uses. The devil does not care who he uses. He might even use your own children against you.
Amen.
You don't think that happens? Especially grown children. Or some teenage children for that matter.
All right.
Hallelujah, God. But you are the parent. Your children ought to know that you are a man or a woman of God.
Amen.
And they should know that anything that they say should not hurt you. They should know that. And they should know that it will not prosper because you are a child of the Most High God. And especially family members, siblings, cousins, whatever, even aunties and uncles, you still got to respect them because they're your elders. So don't say nothing out the way to them, but you can put the word on them. Hallelujah. And let them know that you're going to pray for them to get it right. Hallelujah. But encourage yourself, saints of God, and encourage others. And that which you set your mind to, please go ahead and do that. Carry it out. See it through.
Man.
Whatever it is. It might be something that you might want to cook and you might want to learn how to cook. But you ain't going to never learn how to do it if you don't get behind that stove and practice it.
Right.
If you don't get all the ingredients, you might want to do something. Well, this year I'm going to try and bake a cake from scratch. Or this year I'm going to do, ain't nothing to it but to do it, saints of God. Then go ahead and do so. Set a date, set a time, get the ingredients. Now it might not come out of taste weather cuss. Then it might be your first time, but you've got to keep practicing and keep doing it. Hallelujah. Next thing you know, you had a centerpiece for Thanksgiving. You had a cake that you'd have made way back in January and February. Now it's on the table in November. Because you done practiced it so much. Hallelujah, God. It's just like me with macaroni. It wasn't always made with the best at first, but it gets better and better each and every time over the years. Now I'm ready to fix that stuff now. Hallelujah. My wife, she know that macaroni be blazing. She can say what she want to say. She know. She be eating it. I know that. But see, it took practice for that. And practice because I wanted to get it right. Hallelujah, God. That's one reason why I learned how to cook. Because I got tired of waiting on fixing stuff. Her to fix it, and she wouldn't fix it. So I had to learn how to fix my meatloaf. I had to learn how to do my macaroni. Because I had a taste for that stuff sometimes. And it took her too long to do. So I had to learn how to do it. Hallelujah, I can fix it whenever, anytime I get ready. Hallelujah, God. Because when we got married for the first few years, oh, she was the chef. She fixed everything. I fixed a little minor stuff. But now, hallelujah, God. I don't mind throwing down in the kitchen now. I don't mind doing that. And it helps her out too, for that matter. Because one time she wasn't getting no help. She was doing all of that. I just sit back and wait. But see, now I'm helping her out because one thing, I wanted to learn how to do those things. So that's what, if you got your mindset to do something, saints of God, you can do it. And you can master it. Hallelujah. And be very good at whatever it is. But when it comes to spiritual things, saints of God, do stay in that word daily. Do praise him other than just praising him at church. Praise him at your home. Hallelujah, God. Encourage your spouse. Encourage your children. Be an encourager because people, especially in your family, they need to hear those encouraging words. Let our pastor know that they do a good job. Hallelujah, God, preaching and teaching the word. Encourage them. Our leaders need encouragement. Just because they're pastors and leaders don't mean that they don't need encouragement. They need that. Encourage one another. The word says to exhort one another daily. Like I said, those of you that are on social media, encourage people and exhort them and let them know that they are somebody. Let us stand. Hallelujah, God. Do we have communion ready? You ready in the back? Okay. After we finish doing everything, we'll go ahead and do communion. And then we'll pray and do our announcements and everything. Let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, we thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for this day, God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this brand new year, Heavenly Father. We're only 5 days into it, God. Father God, I'm speaking it right now in the atmosphere that this will be a very prosperous year for us, Heavenly Father. We will be in good health this year, Heavenly Father. We will have more than enough in the mighty name of Jesus. We will go higher than you, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord. Father God, we will be better worshipers of you than what we were last year, Heavenly Father. We will read our Bibles more this year, God. We will study more. We'll be prepared in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Father God, your word tells us that we are overcomers, that we are victorious, that we are more than conquerors in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. And Father God, we will encourage others this year, Heavenly Father, to tell them that they can do better, that they are somebody, that you do love them, that they are blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We will encourage ourselves, Father God, when there's no other body, nobody else, no other word to tell us that, no other voice to tell us. We will encourage ourselves in the Lord that we can do it, that we will not stop, that we will continue to move forward. We will continue to push. We will constantly say that the devil is a liar. We will constantly say, Father God, that you are the only one that matters, that you are first in our life, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We will worship. We will praise. We will honor you, God. We will give you glory for everything, God. We will thank you daily in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Father God, I pray, Lord, for those that are sick right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, those that are with the flu right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we're going to pray as one, as whole, as a church for the Turner family, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, touch them right now, in Jesus' name, God. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you get rid of the flu right now, God. Touch their bodies, get rid of that sickness, in the mighty name of Jesus. Because we know the flu, hallelujah, God, it can be very dangerous, dependent, God. And we know the condition, Heavenly Father, Sister Turner, God. So touch her in the mighty name of Jesus right now, God. Father God, we speak in healing right now in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We pray in Heavenly Father for healing right now from head to toe, God. Remove it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Strengthen them, hallelujah, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. I pray, Father God, Lord, that you nourish their bodies in the mighty name of Jesus, God, and cast that sickness back to the dry places in Jesus' name, Lord. And if there's anybody in this place that is not feeling well, Father God, touch them right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Touch their bodies, Lord, from their head, their back, their elbow, their leg, their knees, God, their joints, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Touch them right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Strengthen them, hallelujah, God. Build them up where they're weak in Jesus' name, Lord. Because right now, Father God, we need you, Lord. You are a healer in the mighty name of Jesus, God. If there's anybody feeling right now that they're less than in the mighty name of Jesus, that they're not good enough, we come against that right now. And you are good enough because the word says so. The word says that you are an overcomer. The word says that you are victorious. Hallelujah, God. And everybody in this place can accomplish anything that they set their mind to. Hallelujah, God. Everybody in this place has good leadership capabilities in Jesus' name, Lord. Everybody in here has a good functioning brain because the word said that you did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love and of peace and of a sound mind. Everybody in this place has a sound mind, God. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. We will continue to move forward as a church, God. We will continue to pray that new faces will come in this place. New family members in the mighty name of Jesus, God. This church will grow in 2020. We send it out in the atmosphere. We will, God, have a new building in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We will speak positive, God. We will continue to pray for those things, God. Hallelujah, God. Because your word says so, God. We can have anything that we want to have, Heavenly Father. Your word says, Lord, that we give our petitions to you. We send up our prayers to you, God. And believing what we pray for, Father God, we shall have. And the word tells us, Father God, to knock and it shall be opened. To seek and we shall find it. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus. And that's exactly what we're going to do. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your will be done in the mighty name of Jesus. Strengthen each and every one that's in here, in this place, Heavenly Father, from head to toe, God, physically, mentally, and spiritually, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.